Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Danny, who is here to speak with us about his participation in the Practice Everywhere tweets. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks, Jen. Hi. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, great. Thanks for being with us. So I know you are part of the team that brings us the Practice Everywhere tweets. And just to begin with, in case there are folks who don't know what that is, maybe we could just start there about what the Practice Everywhere tweets are.
Sure. So the Practice Everywhere tweets are reminders, periodic reminders that get sent out several times a day, and that people can receive on their phone as texts or through a Twitter app or also through Facebook. And they're short little helpful reminders to enable us to stop what we're doing for a moment and come to here and now, and they often have a little they pose a question or something to look at that just helps us be here and appreciate life.
And I was just looking at one recent example that I love. We'll never need to face the future. We only ever have to be present. Right? And so what that does is it has me, assuming I'm willing, which, you know, is a huge piece of it, right, to stop and read that and to go to my experience of that and to just have that come through periodically on your phone, or, as you say, at random points during the day. Was just, I think it was actually, we were just on a call recently, Danny, weren't we, where we were talking about when it started. I can't, was it 2010? Is that what they said?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Can you believe it?
Sometime around then, yeah.
As that technology became available, I think Sherry just had the insight of, wow, I mean, people are carrying these things around all day, and you know, and they're being used for all kinds of things that are not necessarily completely helpful. So why don't we use that phenomenon to remind people of what, if they're doing awareness practice, they want to be reminded of. So brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and then maybe you could speak a little bit about your, you know, what you've seen as a result of your own participation in offering and kind of the impact that's had on your practice.
Well, to start with, it's been a source of immense gratitude because I know through my own experience the value of the program, the value of receiving these tweets, and I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to help make those happen, to be part of, as you said, part of the team, because it is a team that comes up with these and massages them and posts them, and so for me there's that gratitude of being able to support practice, and then in the process of doing all that I do, my part of the process, I get to see how I do that. I get to see how a simple process can all too often be made more complicated by conditioning one to trying to muscle in and take things over.
Well, you pointed a really important point there, I think, Danny, that, you know, it's that place of when we pay attention, everything enlightens, and soon, as we've been doing practice a while, we realize truly, as Sherry says, everything is my teacher. And one of the things I think, you know, so yes, I have direct teachers, but I also have the person, as we always say, cuts me off in traffic, or I have that deadline I have at work, or that coworker that I can't get along with, or it's all, if I'm willing for it, it's all a mirror to show me how the process of suffering happens for me. And I think one of the things people talk about when they do something like you're talking about, step up to steward practice, to assist in offering practice, what's so amazing about that is, of course, because we are who we are, all the same processes that run everywhere in my life are going to run there too. But I'm surrounded by people where none of us is confused, that the whole point of all of it is to highlight the process. And that's rare to get to do something like that, surrounded by people who are also simply looking at the process.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's you just said that so beautifully. Yeah, that the just so rare opportunity to be doing this work in the company of others doing that work. It's just it's an incomparable blessing.
Yeah, truly, truly. And if I'm not mistaken, I think part of the role that you play in that is to be, so as you say, there's a whole group of people who send in tweets, right? And so they're getting the benefit of looking at that, and, that has your attention looking towards, short and helpful practice things. They send them through. You start to edit them, which I can imagine has a really big impact on kind of how you're looking.
Oh yeah, it's been really interesting. I have a lot of experience editing in my life, and when it came, and what I quickly saw in editing tweets is that editing is just it's just the beginning. It's not about editing. I mean. What the process of taking these tweets and doing the process involves trying to the extent possible have them be a reflection of practice, and that takes a lot more than just being a good editor. One has to I find that essentially I have to. In a way, I have to be practice. I have to be so here and now and just enveloped in practice in order to help these little reminders to whatever extent that they need it to help them be a true and helpful reflection of practice.
Oh, boy, Danny, as I just listened, it's so clear why stepping up to do something like that is going to have such a benefit on our own practice. Because what you're describing basically is going from being sort of a consumer of practice to a whole other level of looking at, okay, so it does this represent practice? And not from going to a conditioned mind to think or figure it out, but a truly a place of looking from this much larger perspective. And from that perspective, I project that's the movement we're always making in our own practice, where we're stepping away from being the person who's suffering to the person who's being with, who's mentoring that person. And that's kind of that same movement where you're making that step back to a bigger, a larger place, and you're looking in your own practice so that your own practice can be of benefit to the entire Sangha.
Yes, exactly so. I mean, it's, I'm grateful to have been around practice for a while, and that certainly is a help, not a necessity in going through this process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that really taking that larger perspective really does become integral in our practice. Essential. Yep.
Yeah.
And Danny, just on the practical level, when you were talking about, Facebook and Twitter, and I know for me, when people start talking about those things, I sort of go, oh, okay, that's not for me. But that's all you, those, here's my experience of it, being a person who's really not on those platforms at all, is that you just get an account in order to use it as a springboard. So, for example, I have a Twitter account simply so I can have the tweets fed to my phone to me. But that's the only thing that happens with that Twitter account. And it was relatively easy to set up. You know, one could Google it. But in other words, you're not then public on Twitter and people start finding you. Nothing like that. Like in my experience,
right, nothing like
literally
that.
Just have
yeah.
it. You can just have it and just to, in order to get the tweets.
Yes. Yeah. And also if folks want to go to livingcompassion.org/tweets, there's actually instructions on how to get set up with those, with one or more of those.
Oh, I completely forgot. That is how I did it. That was very compassionate of us to do that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, sure was.
You don't even have to go to see all that. You can just, yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see we're at the top of the hour. That always happens so quickly. Was there anything else you wanted to add in, Danny, before we end?
I would just suggest there are folks aren't participating in receiving the tweets to think about doing it, because it's a really easy way to get really spot on awareness practice reminders throughout the day. And so I would urge people to give that a thought.
Yeah, and I would certainly second that. And it just reminded me of one other thing that I sort of alluded to when I read that first tweet, but which is that it's such a good check-in. It is for me. So in those places where it's like, I mean, truly, it can show me in an instant where I am. It's either, oh, yeah, great. Oh, that is so true. Boy, I can really see that. Or it's, I don't have time for that. Or it's, let's just get that off my, right? I mean, it's just so
good.
Without even talking about it, just the thing coming in is just such a great check-in. All right, Danny. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Jen. Take good care.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Danny. And thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm good. You?
Yeah. I'm a little under the weather, and I am happy to be here, and happy to be practicing. Are you there, Sherry?
Are you there?
Oh, there you are. Now I got you.
Yeah. Some woman came in asking me for a pin, which I actually don't have. So I don't know who she was, but she went away.
Great.
So you're a little under the weather. That's no fun.
No fun. And I'm going to work on the Hubert.
Or maybe it
here.
Is. I don't know. I don't want to assume that. Maybe it's a very good time. I don't know. Maybe you're getting some much-needed rest.
Could be. Could be. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I loved about that conversation that Danny and Jen were having is the opportunity to be a part of stewarding practice.
Yes.
And how helpful it has been to my practice that, you know, among other things, every Tuesday afternoon from about 4:30 until 6 o'clock, whether I'm sick or
here you are,
or happy or unhappy, or here I am.
Yeah.
And it's just such a great support to be required just to make that commitment and be required to show up in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Danny said something that I'm particularly aware of, because I'm one of a team of three deeply in the process right now, because I don't know, it might be premature to say we're putting the finishing touches on the communication book, but we're way closer than we've ever been. And the thing that Danny described with doing the tweets is needing it, that, yes, it's not just editing, right? It's not just, is this the correct way to say this? Because often the correct way to say this, in our case, in English, is actually not helpful in terms of practice. So how do I express this so that it communicates what we mean in practice, not what we mean, what somebody means when they're writing it for a magazine article or they're going to say it on a television show or whatever. And it's that deep, deep looking for just the best way you can see to say something that is one of the great gifts of stewarding. Because even if we're not doing something with the written or spoken word, we are always in that place of doing our best to represent practice, which means we have to do that deep looking, paying close attention all the time to see if how we're being, what we're saying, what we're doing represents practice in the way we want it represented so that people will see what it is, and if it speaks to them, they will recognize it for what it is and perhaps choose to use it to benefit them.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So one of the things that we talk about, or one of the examples of that is, if you're going to send a letter, remember those? Remember the envelopes and letters and stamps and all that? And and you want to make sure that the stamp goes on that envelope in a way that represents practice, in that it's clear that you were there when you put it on. You weren't just slapping it on there while you're thinking about something else. Right? You're actually present to that action. And it's just, it's life-changing to be in a situation where we agree to do our best to meet that standard or that requirement.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And when it comes from that place, it can really land also with me.
Yes.
In my experience.
Yes. Yes. We feel it. We recognize it. We sense it. We know when we're in the presence of somebody who's present. We recognize when tremendous attention has gone into doing something. And we also know when the opposite is the case, when something is just slapped together and the person just getting by, just getting it done, just get it off my plate. Right? Difference is really apparent.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here, Sherry.
All right.
The powerful There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat provides an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. A retreat is coming up August 3rd through August 10th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. A new quarter begins July 15th. J. 2 new virtual group coaching classes will be offered this summer. Mornings with the Mentor starts August 7th, and Compassionate Eating begins August 14th. These 4-week sessions will use weekly calls and email check-ins to provide support and inspiration. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at an at-home working meditation retreat on August 24th. The day includes exercises, facilitated virtual discussions, mindful eating, and designated work periods. The Family Karma Retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, is not an exploration of childhood trauma or family dynamics from a content perspective, but an investigation of the ego, of the, quote, story of me, unquote. Through this exploration, we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today, and we'll practice the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control. This retreat, September 2nd through 7th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with Sherry. For these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And some reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a 5-minute conversation that's focused on one topic is really helpful.
All right.
All right. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. It's Virginia.
Well, good evening,
hey, Virginia.
Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. Well, let's see. I made a commitment to be in the queues.
And son of a gun, and now look what's happened to you.
I know. Look what happened. And yes, I know. And also, I had a 4:30 appointment tonight that got canceled, so it allowed me to
keep that commitment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So
life is plotting against you, Virginia.
it would appear so. Yes. Yes, it would appear so. Well, I'll just say that something that I've been looking at on and off, but today it showed up kind of in a big way, Sherry. I'm getting ready to go on a trip, and I leave on Friday, and I'll be gone for a few weeks. And I have noticed that in these last few days, that, well, I struggle a lot with staying focused and seeing tasks through to completion, and I struggle without structure, and I've noticed the last few days that without urgency, many things have come into a clearer focus, so that the things that ordinarily there would be a debate about, you know, like how long can I wait before I do this, now I just do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it's just, the karma for me is to hear a debate about how long I can wait to put something off, you know.
And you don't have to do it today. You're not leaving till Friday. You can.
Right.
Right.
But
yeah.
But you
wait till Thursday.
Well, actually, right now that conversation has gone away. So
yeah,
so
I was
what
curious.
I'm,
what happened?
Well, I know. I think what it is because there are really only a few days, and a lot needs to get done. So there's no space for it. There's no let's wait until tomorrow, because it actually does need to get done today.
so, in other words, when there isn't the luxury of time, it turns out you can get things done just fine.
Right. Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And there's another, like, a parallel process with that, which is with that also that I'm noticing that kind of goes a little bit, one little layer deeper, which is, so, like, I need to leave the house most every day to go to work or do something like that. And I've noticed that there is a, there's a little bit of a drag break on that, like, I will wait until the very last minute before I have to step out the door. And the process is like liking, or there, the karma is like liking to keep it comfortable and familiar and in quotation marks safe. I mean, it's not really safe, but it's like wanting to
or
keep
comfortable.
It this way and definitely comfortable. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not comfortable, is it?
No, I mean,
isn't there a sense of anxiety or waiting till the last minute or no?
Yeah, I guess it's there's an underlying sense of anxiety. Yes. And but sort of really underlying, because I think that what I'm trying to describe is the trance that I get in. And it involves doing things, and it involves, you know, like going out and showing up. It's the Enneatype's way of trying to keep things in equilibrium or keep comfortable. It's the ego's way of trying to keep comfortable. So anyway, I guess I'm just describing it because now it's in sharp contrast to what's happening in the last few days.
Uh-huh. And is this new way, do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it. I actually notice there's a lot more energy. I mean, I'm not looking for energy, but it feels really good to just start, just to nail things, like, boom, do the... there's no conversation before, I shouldn't say no, but I'm noticing the conversation that would be there isn't there. And so then instead of just dragging my feet and waiting as long as I can, I just do it.
Yeah.
And it's energizing. Yeah. I mean, it's actually very energizing.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yes, Virginia, because I can't tell whether you really see this clearly, but what's happening in that feet dragging, waiting till the last minute, is that energy is being sucked out of you.
Right.
So
well, right.
It is comfortable for ego, but it's not comfortable for the human.
No, it's not comfortable for the human, for sure, because it tends to be then, like, the day becomes a blob.
Mm-hmm.
There are no distinct points. It's all kind of blobby.
Right, right. Because you're just
right.
sort of being maneuvered.
Right,
right. Yeah, you're just maneuvered around, and you're just supplying the energy for ego.
Right. Yes, truly, yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, that's
very exciting, isn't it?
Well, it is really exciting. And so I guess what I of course, there's some place that wants to say, yeah, what do I do now? And I don't know what the answer to that is. Just to, you know, there's one thing with our practice, Sherry. It's sort of a balance between taking action and not being driven around by the ego.
Yes. And you just described how that happens. Right? It drops in. It drops in. Pick up the dry cleaning. Do people do dry cleaning anymore? I'm trying to think of something. Pick the book fresh library, that's probably not it either. Get the oil changed in the car. Okay.
Right.
So it whatever it is drops in. And you just do it because it will drop in at the time to do it. And so you just do it.
Yeah.
And then the energy is there. It's not getting It drops in. Do that. It's time to do that. Which ego wants to frame as more comfortable. But when now that you've seen the difference, like, that's not more comfortable. What's more comfortable is having this energy and just getting things done and not having things hang over my head. I don't have to dread anything. I don't have to be in all these conversations. And when you're done, you're done.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to make, I think you're helping me to remember, I'm going to make a recording about all the how energizing this feels.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And what you've seen about that it is not comfortable for you. So when you hear that comfort word, you know that's ego talking about its comfort. It's stuck. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with you.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. And I guess, too, I would also say when I feel that sticky, kind of heavy, amoeba-like sense, that there's this kind of sense that comes over me. That's the thing to watch out for, too.
Yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, Virginia, when that happens, here's just something you can try. Just get up and do something.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right.
There's always something on the list that's pending.
Right.
And just get up and do it and watch the energy come back to you.
Yeah, that's great.
Now,
okay.
Let me ask you this. Are you leaving the country?
I am.
Well, then we won't hear from you for a while, will we?
It'll be a while. It'll be a little while. Yes, it's true. I'll have a Wi-Fi. I think I'll have. Well, it's going to be. I'm not sure about that. You probably won't hear from me for a while, Sherry. Yeah.
If you can, stay in touch.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Absolutely.
All the times
when
it's possible to stay in touch. So let us hear from you if you can. If not, and if you can or if you can't, have a fabulous time.
Okay. I'm going to. I'm really going to.
That's your job. That's your job.
I'll report back.
Okay, good. That sounds good.
If you don't hear
all
from
right.
me while I'm gone, I'll report back. How about the good, great time?
That sounds good.
Okay,
all right.
Thank
it's
you so
deal.
Much. Thank
Thanks,
you, Michael.
Virginia.
Good night.
Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. Sounds like you were suggesting that we drop the conversation, Sherry. Is that right?
Don't you think? Yeah. Yeah, because that's the problem, right? It's always the problem. Whenever anything is not going well, it all comes down to a negative conversation and conditioned mind, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
good to know the
experience.
Source. Yeah, good to know the source of our difficulties. Yeah.
And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa in Asheville.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
I couldn't tell if you were unsure about being Vanessa or unsure about Asheville. I recognize your voice, so I was pretty sure.
Yes. Well, I'm at the sitting group, so I wasn't sure about the phone and the technology and stuff. So.
I see.
Yeah.
And we have your leader here, don't we?
Oh, do you? Okay. I was wondering where he was.
You wondered what happened to him. Yes. He's right here with us. So what's going on there?
Well, let's see. That last conversation was really helpful. And, well, I guess what I wanted to look at was, let's see. So yesterday I forgot about a Reflective Listening Buddies call, like just completely forgot. And right around the time for the call, I was sort of like, I have nothing to do. What's going on? And I took a nap on the couch. I mean, it was just completely not there. And then first thing this morning, I woke up and I remembered. And yeah, right. There was that, you know, so pile on self-hate, all that stuff, feeling bad. And I guess then I pick up the recorder and talk to mentor about it, and you see it for the practice opportunity that it is.
You were able to in the conversation. Oh, very good.
Yes, which is, huge. It felt really huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And what I also would sort of was looking at was I've become more, and so I've been doing the reflective listening advice for several years now, and so I'm maybe just casual about it, or I started, it was like, okay, oh my God, the call's coming, and I have to get prepared, and da da da. So there was sort of fear and anxiety around it, but I always showed up for the call. I never forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Excitement, fear and anxiety, and some excitement in the beginning.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So now maybe there is, maybe as I just said, there's sort of this casual about it. I don't really, I love it when I am doing the call, but there is always an appreciation for it, but there isn't that maybe that same excitement around it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But what I thought my question was, it seemed like that fear was actually very effective in making me remember what I wanted to remember.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Okay, good. Go ahead.
Well, my thing is but then I'm just afraid. It's like what I guess sometimes I hear in practice, like if you're a good person because you're afraid of not being a good person, well, you're actually not a good person. You're just afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm showing up for the call just because I'm anxious about missing it, then somehow that's not quite it.
Well, yes, and perhaps. So I usually look at these things in terms of the opportunity that it is. So you missed the call. And you didn't, when you remembered, what didn't drop in was, gosh, that was a great nap.
Hmm.
Which it could have, right? And perhaps one day will, but not right now. But what you got to see as a result of that experience is what happens to you when you don't meet an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm guessing this is not the first time you've seen that. Okay, you had that call. It's a relationship, right? Somebody, you've got a buddy. Somebody's counting on you. They show up for the call. You don't. That makes you a bad person, and you have to feel bad, and you have to, go through all of that. It seems like the opportunity here, aside from that, I think it's always good to have a check-in because. I think I know you well enough to know there was not a single cell in your body that came from a place of, I don't care. I don't care. I mean, they can, we'll do it next week. I don't care. I'm just going to take a nap. That's not, you just forgot. It didn't drop in, and so you didn't do it. There's nothing bad in any of that. It's just what happens to us as human beings. Okay? We forget things on occasion. So how are we with ourselves when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which I think is more the point of just about everything than anything else. Because we have accidents, we forget things, we do things that we wish we didn't do, just all kinds of stuff happens. So how are we with ourselves when that happens? That's one. And the second one is that you get to look at, so what's going on with me about this reflective listening buddies thing? Where am I with that? Is it really not important to me? Do I stopped bringing conscious awareness to this? Have I stopped seeing it as valuable for my practice? You know, what's going on? Or did I just forget? Because I actually don't want to go through life being motivated by fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I don't want to go through life being motivated by fear and anxiety.
Uh-uh.
And so how, so that was, so I guess what I'm seeing is, how is it that I do my life when I'm not motivated? Like, what is it that is actually motivating me that's not fear and anxiety?
Yes.
You know,
Go ahead. No, finish that thought.
Well, it just feels like a lot of my life, I've been told that fear and anxiety is the way to be motivated. Mm-hmm. And I think now I'm seeing, like, in fact, that's a lie, that this mm-hmm. fear and all of that is something that actually squishes down at the motivation or masquerades
yes.
as motivation, but it isn't
yes.
it. It's actually
that's
have to
right.
overcome to get anything done.
And it feeds ego nicely, right?
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't take care of the human being.
Right. Yeah.
So a little parallel that perhaps we can draw is you have a relationship, right? And
mm-hmm.
you can probably go back to when the two of you were first together, you know, just met, just started dating, okay? And there's that fear, anxiety, excitement.
Mm,
do you remember
mm-hmm.
that?
mm-hmm.
kind
right.
of on high alert, right? And
yeah.
then the years go by. And that falls away. Right? Familiarity, comfort, ease, the known, all of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't want that relationship to slide into bored, tired of this, don't want to do this, you have to make an effort.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Have to bring conscious awareness to the relationship.
Yeah, I totally see that. And there's something about that that is, I'm not sure what the word would be, but kind of, it's just like, you know, when you're married to someone for a long time or you're in a relationship, there's a depth to that commitment. And to when you do turn that, make that effort and that conscious commitment, it's I don't know what the word would be, but
better,
or deeper, or more nuanced
yeah.
and interesting.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just ego craziness.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we come back to practice, then it's the same process, right? The excitement isn't the same. Uh-huh. The fear and the anxiety isn't there. And so we have to bring conscious awareness to the
right.
to the process. We have to bring to it what we want out of it.
Yeah.
Which is the most wonderful practice in the world, just like your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Because
thank you so much.
Because ego wants to step in there and say, and you know, I mean, you've lived long enough to know how often this happens with so many people. You know, I'm just not there. You know, it's just not interesting to me. And they
mm-hmm.
move on. Okay,
mm-hmm.
to the next thing that's going to produce the ego craziness that makes them feel alive.
Right.
And there can be a great deal of suffering in that process, and people will still go for it. Because they don't realize that where we're going in life is not horizontal, it's vertical.
Mm-hmm.
We're going
mm-hmm.
deeper, not serially.
Right, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. That's what changes us.
Mm. Yeah, thank you.
You are so welcome.
Right. Have a good evening.
You too. Go happy.
Yep. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. Sherry, one thing I got out of that conversation is not feeling bad. You know, Vanessa mentioned missing the recording and listening call, and it was in 2013 that we stopped feeling bad, and the insights
right.
that open up as a result of
mm-hmm.
not feeling bad.
Yes, everything that we just talked about and more is available
yes.
to us when we stop feeling bad. This feeling bad just sucks all the energy out, and by the time we get over feeling bad, it's got us into the next drama. So, yeah, just staying with it.
I'm convinced it's to block the learning that's available in that moment.
Yeah, me too. I think you're absolutely right. That is the sum total purpose of feeling bad, so that we
mm-hmm.
stay stuck in just
mm-hmm.
in the horizontal. Right, just round after round
yes.
after round of the same thing. Because if I
yes.
feel bad about something, the thing I can know is it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll feel
yeah.
bad and it'll happen again. And we can look at our lives and know that that's the case. But when we stay with the experience and open to what we can see about it, then we really do increase our chances of not stepping in that hole again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
sure, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And sure, we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Ren from South Florida.
Hello, Ren.
Excited to be on.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, and it's funny that we just had the little commercial for recording and listening, because I've been reading this, so it's summer, so I've been reading this book by Becky Bailey, and it's about conscious discipline, and it's mirroring a lot of the things in our awareness practice. It's kind of a way to approach children with love instead of fear. And she talks about enoughness and how you focus your attention. And I'm like, these themes are familiar. But I was remembering that a while ago you had said there were people that were doing recording and listening with little people. And I was wondering if you could tell me more about that and how I could find out more about it, because I'm really fascinated with it.
Well, the main thing about it, the people, we have one of our recording and listening trainers who works with young people. And I think the youngest that she's worked with, like in a school setting, is 10-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And but we have parents who do recording and listening with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a whole family process of recording and listening.
Mm-hmm. I'm really thinking about like modeling it with my class, you know, as part of like our class community when something happens and, you know, I get upset or whatever and, you know, this is what I can do. And I don't know, it's just really...
How old are your students?
They're 4 and 5.
Oh, that's a fun age for it, yeah. So we have one gal in the Sangha who is a psychotherapist. And she started doing it with her kids when I think the little one was about 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the older one is, I think, 3 or 4 years older. But they actually learned to process in that way. I mean, they would just talk to the recorder about what they were feeling and what they were thinking, what they wanted, you know, all of those kinds of things. Yeah.
And the reason why, like, I'm getting so into this approach is because it really aligns with our Living Compassion practice in that it's really about teacher or parent. You figure out where you are at. You get your awareness, and then you can calm yourself or get yourself disidentified enough to approach this child and, you know, help them process. But you have to start with yourself. If you don't, you open your mouth and whatever your parents said is coming right out.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, of course, I have this little theory about being with kids that primarily we need to be processing in front of them.
Right.
You know, forever the approach has been you tell kids. You tell them what to do. You tell them how to be. You tell them what they're doing wrong. You tell them. And, of course, they're watching us going, what? I mean, you're not anything like. Yeah.
So and you're yelling at them to stop yelling, you know.
Yeah.
So what are they learning?
Right. If we process in front of them, then it becomes normal. So, we're driving down the road. The kids are in the car. Somebody cuts me off in traffic. I get really upset. And so I talk through my process of being upset and having all those emotions and what I want to do with them and how I want to handle it. And, you know, as soon as I get home, I'm going to make a recording so that I can listen to it and remember that, you know, like that. And then it's normal. Kids accept anything. They don't know.
Yeah.
Adults have trouble with this kind of thing because we were conditioned that it's not normal. But if you just start out with little kids, they don't know the difference, and then they have the advantage of not needing to overcome quite so much baggage as we have to overcome.
And it just brings you to that beginner's mind when you're looking about exactly what you're talking about. You know, how kids learn, and what I really believe is not, you know, telling them, but say, well, what do you think? You know, and then the other big thing about this this approach is the same thing that we think. Like, there's no mistakes. We're already enough. So if you, you know, have a misbehavior or whatever you want to call it, that's an opportunity to teach. That's an opportunity to learn. And who's learning and teaching? The teacher and the kid. You know what I mean? So I get so much more out of it by processing
practicing
it,
together
know, that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just
it's all practice. Yeah. And having that approach assists us not to compartmentalize life, so that I'm one way at home by myself or with people closest to me, and then I'm a completely different person, a completely different way when I'm out in the world. So awareness is practice is something that I practice on my own time, but I don't let anybody else know that I'm practicing being aware. Why not?
Yeah. Well, that's why this focus on relationship has been a huge one. Like, I'm a lot better at awareness practice alone in my room.
yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, keep us posted on your progress. I was saying, you probably heard me say this because I say it all the time, but I was doing a workshop on Sunday, and there were a bunch of people there who were new to our practice, and some of them psychotherapists. And I was saying, I was promising them in 20 years, recording and listening will be so normal. It will be so much a part of our culture that all teachers, counselors, all spiritual practices, it'll all be recording and listening. So might as well be among the first.
Trendsetter.
Leading the way. Trendsetter. All right. Thanks, Ren.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ren. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry. This is Andrew from North Carolina.
Hello, Andrew.
Andrew.
How are you doing?
How are you today?
Great.
I'm doing well, too. And I thought, well, I'm doing well would be a good time to talk to you guys about something very similar to the last conversation. I don't know, some similarities. I was looking lately at my anger when kids don't do what they're supposed to do, particularly if they don't do what they're told, particularly by me.
Yes. let's get down to the real issue, right? It's not the kids, it's not the doing, it's the me. Okay, I'm right with you.
Well, that's good to see. I'm hoping to get right with you. Is that I hadn't really seen that it's a self-centered, particularly self-centered thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't know how old these kids are, but if we get to the point of not really caring that much how they are with other people, right? That's their problem. Do you know what I mean? If they don't do what I tell them to do, I take that really personally.
Yeah, that is really good to look at. I still get some of the same reaction if they don't do what their mom says. There's kind of a globbing together of, mom is a pushover, so I need to come and really, punish them, basically, as if it was me that told them. But because I'm kind of worried about
Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew, is it always the case? Is it the case if you don't agree with their mom?
No, that's a good one. No, it's not. If I don't agree with mom, which doesn't happen hardly ever, which is part of how stuff gets, I get fleeced. If it's some content that, comes up once in a blue moon, then I can just be like, oh, well, we're good to go on that. But actually, and maybe that's part of how I get to escalating so quickly. If something comes along that's rare, but anyway, to answer your question, no, it's not like that if I disagree with mom.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware of the anger the rest of the time? Does it seem like it just you just go crazy? Just whatever the trigger is, that's it? You go from zero to going to kill them in a matter of seconds? Or are you aware of that energy going along throughout your day and then it runs into something like this? How does that show up for you in your life?
It's kind of a grab bag. It's both of the kind of modes you mentioned and probably at least one other one. But in general, I think it leans heavily towards I get surprised. I thought everything was fine. I didn't notice any energy of anger. And then all of a sudden, it's exactly like you said, zero to want to kill him. And it's just like,
uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
It leans that direction.
Mm-hmm. So you're not aware of the stress building.
Right. And sometimes if there's triggers, I can see it building, but I still often feel that feeling of like, well, I thought we were kind of holding this together. I thought, you know, especially if I do stuff, like if I try to do some recording or if I do some, you know, trying to get disidentified or whatever, and it can seem like, oh, okay, you know, that made a big difference for me.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. But then uh-huh. maybe not later.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so let me ask you another one. I'll just tell you this theory and see if you relate to it at all. That one of the things that happens to us, people, we think we're conscious, and we're not. Okay? That's very, very typical. And it's sometimes we have experiences that help us to know that. You know, somebody says, "Well, how was work today?" And you realize, I can't remember work today, right? If I really sat down and thought about it, but I would really have to sit down and think about it because it's not there, right? Or the thing I can recall, of course, is the thing that was upsetting to me. But the rest of it is just kind of a blank, right? And so very often when we get surprised out of unconsciousness, the reaction is anger. Ego doesn't like for us to be brought into the present.
Interesting.
Did you get a sense of that?
Yeah. It had always gotten stuck on content. Like, I'm upset about that thing they did, but I think I'm seeing what you're saying, that it's an opportunity to say, oh, wow, I was probably unconscious, and now I'm very conscious of this, and that it's ego that doesn't like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, it's my little thing about putting the kids in timeout. It must be the kids, because as soon as they're in timeout, I feel fine. Right?
I feel silly because in school I learned about spurious correlation, where these two things happen at the same time, and we think that's causative, but it's not. That makes a lot of sense. Uh-huh. That I could get confused thinking, oh well, yeah, yeah.
Well, it might just be interesting to keep an eye on that. And how old are your kids, Andrew?
They're basically 8 and 5.
8 and 5. So they're on to you, right? They've got your number. And are you okay with them being on to you? I mean, do you feel like you have to kind of keep up the front, or is it all right that they get it, that you have this issue with getting angry
And it's often directed at them.
Oh man, that's a tough question. I'm feeling all over the place. It's like, I tend to feel a lot of shame about my anger. I tend to work really hard on that and feel really quote unquote happy when, you know, there hasn't been hardly any of it. As far as, am I okay with them being on to me? I mean, I know when you say they're on to me, absolutely. And I don't know what the
well, this is just a little, again, a little philosophy and something for you maybe to take a look at. Because the idea, first of all, we're delusional if we think our kids don't read us like a book. They do. They're watching us all the time. Their survival depends on being able to read us, and so they know what's going on. And it can be, and we know this because we had parents, right? We see the hypocrisy. And that's why by the time we hit puberty, it's like, okay, you people, just leave me alone, because I can't trust you. I don't believe you. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not. I don't know. Did that happen with you? This is one of those where I think, well, maybe, but no, I've known enough teenagers. I know that yeah. goes on. How we deal with it differs. But inside, it's like, no. And so for you to be, kind of like we were talking about with Ren, for you to be honest about it, for you to say, you know, I've got this thing going with anger, as I'm sure you've noticed, and I want you to know I'm really working on it. And these are some of the things that I'm doing, okay? And you guys can help me with this by not taking it personally, okay? Because actually, how I'm feeling doesn't have anything to do with you, okay? So now that doesn't mean that I don't expect you to do what I ask you to do and that sort of thing. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't enjoy yelling at you. I don't enjoy getting this upset. And so just for you to know. And then it's out in the open. And the thing that is going to mostly happen is that the pressure is off of you. Because it's, as you've noticed, incredibly stressful to feel the way you feel and try to act like you don't. But if you can be honest about it, you know, and when you can feel it, you know, just excuse me, folks, excuse me, family, I'm going to go out in the backyard for a little while and dig a giant hole, which I will cover up. I'll cover it up. But, you know, because I've just got all this energy going and I don't want to take it out on any of you. And so I'm just going to go deal with it. Enjoy your dinner. Okay. And you go do that. And I can promise you a couple of things. First of all, it's going to be better for you. Mm-hmm. It's going to be better for your kids. And they're going to start being a whole lot more supportive of you. Because they want
to
be
sign
on your
me
side.
Up. It's hard to say no to that, Sherry.
Yeah. Well, you're their dad. You know, they want to be on your side. They do. But nobody likes being blamed for somebody else's stuff. And I don't think we're ever so young that we don't recognize when that's happening.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. A lot of stuff from my childhood is coming back of, yeah, I really resonate with that idea of seeing the hypocrisy even at a young age. And and of course, they don't have... Unless I model it and share it with them, they don't have this practice to have a sense of like,
right.
Oh, this is what happens to all humans because it happened to them and to their parents
That's
and their
right.
parents.
That's right. Yeah, and you can tell them that stuff. You can tell them. It's fine. They can handle it. they have a lot of information.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, at least I did with the kids in my life, you know. Oh, okay. My father used to say that to me. I hated it. I hated it when he said that to me. And I just said it to you. I am so sorry. And you go, that's okay. That's okay.
Mm.
But if that doesn't happen, then they're going to live with that, right? Because whatever they do with it, it's theirs at that point. If we own it, then it doesn't have to be theirs. It doesn't have to stick to them.
Yeah, I see it because I think in my head, own it was becoming, I got to deal with this, and they're so little they can't be expected to be involved in the process. But it's not like I'm asking them to fix it. That would be with the content,
right,
and I need you to do different. This is just talking through my process.
That's right.
Kind of sharing my journey. And because otherwise, if I don't, then they might learn the same idea of, I got to deal with this myself. And it's like each person.
That's exactly right.
Instead of having any allies.
That's right. That's right. This can be a family project.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the other thing, and I see that we have to go, but the other thing that they'll get is when stuff happens to them, they'll know they can talk about it.
Mm.
They won't have to think that they need to be ashamed of that and keep it a secret and they're the only one that it happens to. And they won't have to do that because what's modeled for them is we're human beings, we're sentient beings, we feel all kinds of stuff, all sorts of things happen to us. It's okay, and we can talk about it. As you say, we've got allies. We have support.
Thank you so much for supporting Sangha. This is, I really feel very supported.
So
thank
welcome. You.
You
are so welcome. Great talking with you. Take good care.
You too. Yes.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrew. And Sherry, I got a lot out of that conversation, I'll tell you that much.
Good. Dad.
It was great.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. It was a great show. And go happy, and don't forget to treasure yourself.
That's exactly right. Thank you for that reminder. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.